thank the Lord. Amen. Appreciate you coming out and being with us this morning. Visitors, thank you for being here. Appreciate you coming today and pray that the Lord will bless you today. And our ultimate prayer is, if you don't know who Jesus is, that you would understand who He is today and He'd be your personal Savior before you leave. Amen. Today, let today be the day of salvation. Amen. Now is the accepted time. Nobody's promised tomorrow. Amen. Nobody. I had a little, was he 11 year old? Ben? How old was Ben? Ben was 11 years old, little nephew of mine. God took him. Thankfully, he knew the Lord. Amen. But none of us know. So what I'm trying to tell you is, don't bank on having next week. Well, I'll deal with the Lord next week. I'll do it tomorrow. Let me tell you, do it now. Amen. I wouldn't gamble on my future, my eternity. I would accept Christ as my personal Savior, knowing that He paid the debt that nobody else could pay. And I'm thankful this morning, knowing that Jesus paid it all for me, and He paid it all for you as well. He loves you this morning, no matter what you've done, where you've been. That doesn't do anything. He still loves you. Amen. Amen. Anybody glad He loves you this morning? Amen. That's why I'm here. I hope you're here for the same reason. And if you would, this morning, we're going to begin in the book of Philippians. Pardon me. Tell you what, hold your finger in the book of Philippians. I want to go first of all to 2 Timothy. Hold your finger there in the book of Philippians chapter 3. We'll be there in just a moment. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Second Timothy, chapter number 4, verse number 1. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Let's pray. Fathers, we come before You this morning. Lord, our hearts are just so thankful for who You are. God, Your love for us. God, I thank You for a full house today, those that have come. My prayer is that they've come to not just hear the Word of God, but they've come to do the Word of God. They've come to worship You and to praise You just because You're good. It's, Lord, Your goodness that has led us to repentance. It's because You loved us that we love You. Lord, help us today just to praise You and to worship You for all that You've done. Lord, I pray if there's someone here today, Lord, that does not know You, They may not even understand what salvation is. They may not understand what Jesus came to this earth to do. But Lord, I pray today that they would accept the gift that You gave us on Calvary. And they'd become a child of the King today and a part of the family of God before it's too late. God, I pray that You would help us today. Lord, I need You. As always, Lord, we need You to help us, Lord. Just use us today. Pour us out just as Your vessel. Lord, I pray the power of God would fill this place today and You would help us all to want to be more like You. We'd all have a desire to tell others about You. We love You, Lord, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when you read this passage of Scripture that Paul, of course, he's been teaching Timothy and talking to Timothy. Timothy was his son in the faith. Paul had been ministering to him, teaching him, training him for the ministry. And you know, when you read this portion of Scripture, you can in part of your mind, and maybe you've never looked at it this way, but you can kind of look at this and almost think that Paul is being a little bit boastful here and a little bit proud because of some things he says about his life. When Paul speaks of, from verse number 6, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And then in the next verse he says, "And I'm going to get a crown for all of it." Doesn't that sound a little bit like he's being a little bit boastful? In a sense. But you know what that tells me? That tells me that Paul, not that he was saying he was perfect, Paul was not saying that he was sinless, Paul was not trying to tell us that he was it, but Paul was saying to us that he was laying his head down on his death pillow, saying, "I have no regrets at all. I have finished what God has placed me on this earth to do." And so many people, when you see them on their deathbeds, that's not the story. Normally the story is, "I wish I would have done this. I wish I'd have done more of that. I wish I'd have took more time for my children. I wish I'd have done more for this." And there's a lot of regrets when it comes down to that time of death. And that time of separation between this world. But Paul said, you know, "I'm in a strait betwixt two. For me to die is Christ. You know, for me to live is Christ. And to die is gain." What did Paul mean? Paul was just saying, "I have done what God told me to do." And you will only hear that from an individual who has understood what God would have them to do and who has done what it takes every day of their life to get to that point. And this morning, the Lord has put on my heart to just speak to you about something that Paul says in Philippians chapter number 3. You kind of wonder, you know, how could Paul say that he finished his course? How could he know that he had finished and he had, you know, how could he know his race was over and that he had done and fought a good fight? How could he say that and know that he was going to get rewarded for what he had done? Paul understood the promises of God. Paul understood the purpose of God. And I want to just speak to you just for a few minutes. Go with me here to Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 12. He says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." He's saying, I'm not saying that I have arrived. Paul is not boasting and saying that, "Hey, I'm it." But he said, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. Not a mark, but the mark. For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Listen to verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, that means as many as be mature in Christ, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brothers, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. What I want to look at this morning is Paul speaks of a mark. He speaks of the mark. He speaks of pressing towards this mark. He said, you know what? I'm not saying that I have just apprehended. I've just grown up into this great Christian. Paul was trying to say yes, and in our minds and in our hearts, because of the way God used him to pen the scriptures and used his life to reach so many people in those missionary journeys that Paul took. And Paul was such a blessing to the early church, establishing them, rebuking them when they needed rebuked. God used him in a mighty way. And he said, it wasn't because I'm just it and I've just arrived and I was made a special way. He said, no. But one thing I have done is I've pressed toward the mark. That means that Paul had a mark that he was going after. Now, this again is going to be one of them sermons that's going to be probably a little too simple for most of us in here. But I believe there's so much in this. If we would just take a moment to evaluate some things in our life, if we truly want to, when I lay my head down on my pillow, I want to be able to say, I've fought a good fight. I want to say, I've finished what God put me here to finish. In other words, Paul's saying, I hit the mark. And God's going to reward me for that. He was not being boastful. Have you ever had a child running around telling you what their parents had promised them they're going to do? Daddy said next week, we're going to Disney World. You know, they bank on it. They trust that promise. They are guaranteeing that's what's going to happen. Why? Because that's what Daddy said. And Paul's just going around saying, I'm going to get a prize. I'm going to get a prize. I'm going to get a prize because my daddy said so. Paul is not being boastful. But you can bank on this. There are promises all throughout the Scriptures that share with us the results of following after God and following. But I believe the problem with a lot of us is we don't have a mark. You hear so many people, I just don't know what God wants me to do. And I know there's an element of understanding God's path and God's way for you, but there is so much here that can help you develop that mark. There's an old saying that if a man is aiming at nothing, he'll hit it every time. If a man is aiming at nothing, he will hit it every time. And in the world in which we live, we have gotten to where our marks have become way too broad in our lives. When it comes to us as individuals, when it comes to us as being dads and husbands and families and all these things, our mark has become so broad. How many men in here have taught your children, if they're old enough, have taught them, started teaching them maybe how to shoot a firearm or a bow and arrow? Don't be afraid. I mean, you're glad your daddy taught you how, right? Well, one of the things when you started shooting a firearm, Brother Mickey Kofer actually had a lot. You know, my dad taught me a little bit. My dad wasn't raised around guns a lot and hunting and all that. But Brother Mickey, when I spent a little time with him, when we first started shooting with a .22 rifle, you know, he started out with a target that was just huge. You know, big old bucket. Bring it over, set it out about 50 yards. All right, hit that. Okay, and then weaned on down. Then we got down to these little paint cans. And he set one up there, hit the paint can. Set the next one up there, and he said, now I want you to take the nozzle off the top of it. What was he doing? He was taking the broad spectrum, and he was narrowing it down to where I wouldn't just have the ability to shoot anything and really not know with that broad spectrum if I was really going to hit what I was going for, but he wanted to make sure I was going to hit what I was, that I could hit what I was shooting at. And that mark was very precise. But too many of us in our lives, too many of us, I guess we get so comfortable. It's almost like, okay, Jace, come up here. Use your imagination. I know you got one, big one. All right. You got your 410 in your arm, all right? Now, if I just told you hit that wall over there, you think you could do that? Would that be very difficult? No. All right, come on over here. You're going to help me all morning, all right? Stand right there. See, there's some of us that when we think about in our lives, we think about, okay, men, first of all, because God puts a lot of responsibility on the man. You know, as an individual, just as being a man, when you think about that, what does it mean to be a godly man? The problem with most of us, that spectrum is as wide as this wall. Well, I'm a good man. I mean, have you ever even thought about what being a godly man is all about? Some of us show, yeah, I can hit the wall, boom. I'm a good man, I'm a godly, I'm okay. And you're comfortable with that. And that's how you live. And that's how you walk. And you just become basically anybody. If I gave a gun to Linnea, she could hit that wall. Right? She could nail that wall all day long. But the issue is that in our lives, a lot of times we just become comfortable with who we are because everybody else around us becomes comfortable and they've adapted to who we are. So we just think, okay, I must be all right. And we totally forget that there has been a mark placed. And we've totally, totally forgotten about it. So as a man, let's put this in our personal life. As a man, are you literally just trying to hit the wall?
Yeah, that's good enough.
No, if I'm going to train him to go out and shoot deer, I'm not going to say, well, if you hit that wall anywhere, you'll be okay, buddy. You won't have to worry about eating the rest of your life. And if that's all he can do is hit that wall, that ain't going to help him very much. But as we think about in a spiritual sense, you know, there's some people even that'll, okay, they'll put one of these up here. Y'all ever made targets for yourself or your kids? Wow, y'all got quiet. Yeah, hopefully you have. Or put a pop can up there or something. You start out with something. So you put you up a little target. All right? Jace, take a shot. Make the noise and everything. Use your imagination, buddy. That was a silencer on that one. So say he hits the target up here. I say, okay, that's good enough, buddy. You hit the paper. In our lives, a lot of times, we are happy with just hitting the paper. Well, I go to church. I can find my Bible when I need to go to church. You know, we make ourselves comfortable, and the target, again, is just this broad spectrum. Well, we look around us. That's the problem. He said, don't compare yourselves amongst yourselves because that's not wise.
Don't be looking around at every other brother in this church thinking, I've done okay. That's not the mark he put up there. But that's where we are, and we become comfortable with it. And some of us might be, okay, I'll take another shot. Take another shot, Jace. Okay. And say, okay, that's okay. But one problem with this target is this. Jace can go to anybody and say, well, I hit the target. But there's no way, because the target is not precise enough, there's no way Jace can tell how far he is from the center of this target. Because there's nothing visually there to say, I'm this far off. I'm this far off. I'm this far off. Then there's some of us that might be a little further on in our lives. We've drawn some lines, some boundaries. Amen? I know this ain't a normal sermon, but I hope it helps. Some of us go to here. All right, Jace, take a shot. You're a little low this time, buddy. Take another shot. He got a little better. Take another shot. Okay, he's getting there. But still, again, there's a broad area of where he doesn't know how to hit the center because there's nothing there. He's okay. He's there. Let me tell you something, as a dad and as an individual, as a man, let me just ask you, in your life, how precise is that mark where you say, okay, where am I at? Where did I hit this week? Am I just hitting the wall? Or maybe I've hit the paper? But man. See, that's the problem with we try to just get to the point where everybody around us can live with us and be comfortable with us, and then we say, okay, I must be all right. That's not what Paul did. Paul said, the mark. These are crude targets. I just did them right before service. But hopefully, it might look more like a spider web. Now, do you know where the center of that target is now? Why? But you wouldn't know that unless somebody made a mark there. If I hadn't put all those marks there and made these lines, you wouldn't know where the middle was, would you? If I told you to hit the center of that wall, would you know where it's at? See, men, just as sighting in your gun, and just as, you know, when you've got a bow and arrow and you're trying, you put something there so you know if you hit it or not, and you know how far off you are. Am I right? Jace, you can sit down for a minute. Now, if Jace took another shot, you know, and he gets getting better, and boom, he nails it there, he knows he's hit the center. All right, he's hit the mark. He's hit the mark. There is only one center of that paper. Not two, not three, not four, not a suggestion. The Word of God, there's not four or five different suggestions on what a godly man looks like. The mark is Jesus Christ. So I will tell you and myself today, I don't think any of us are hitting the mark. We might be on the paper. Some of us on the wall. But do you have a mark, men? First of all, men, do you have a mark in your life? I press toward the mark. What is that mark in your life? You know, as you teach him to shoot, you have to teach him to adjust. As he shot at the first couple targets there, and he's a little low, and then you go over and you say, okay, you need to look through this. You're looking through the sight a little different this way, and hold this way. And what are you trying to do? You're trying to make up the distance from where he's wrong to where he needs to be right. So in your life, this is my question to you. When you think about, okay, I'm hitting the paper, but man, I'm so far from where the mark is. And what is it going to take to get me from here to here? What adjustments do I need to make so I can hit my mark, hit my purpose? See, the problem is we become comfortable with who we are. And honestly, when you think about it according to the Word of God, that is a very proud place to be. It really is. This happens to sinners who've never accepted Christ. They get to a point in their life they're comfortable because they feel like either they've done good enough or whatever. They get to a place of pride to where they don't need Jesus to save them from their sins. And may I tell you this morning, that's not hitting the mark. Because the Bible says, just as this verse says right here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is the mark. Not two ways to heaven, four ways to heaven, eight ways to heaven. He's the way. So this morning, if you're here as a sinner, Jesus is the only way you can get to heaven. You will not see the Father except through Jesus Christ. As a man this morning, if you are striving to be what you need to be as an individual, if you're striving to be what you need to be as a husband, if you're striving to be what you need to be as a father, let me ask you, what marks have you placed in your life? What areas have you drawn out and said, okay, these are things, this is how far it is, and you get out the measuring tool, and man, I need to adjust my scope a little bit this way and that way, and over here and over there, and man, you just got to get it to where everything's on target, and you're hitting the mark. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. That's not what Paul was saying. He's just saying mature in Christ, grown up. You know, as your children grow older, hopefully the discipline slows way down. And it's farther and farther apart, right? Most of the time. That's the way it's supposed to be. When they're very young, they have to be taught and trained. And, you know, you're getting on them more and more every day. And it's like, by the time they're three, you're going, and then things start to, a little maturity here and there, and a little, and then they grow up and get to teenagers, and then you're, But what are you doing? What is the proper way of training and helping them? This is the problem in America today. Most men are not able to show their children the mark because they don't have one in their own life. Paul talks about looking and following me because I want to be your ensample. I want to be something that looks like what you're supposed to be. That's what the word ensample means. He doesn't say example. He said ensample. You ever gone through Sam's? Any of you kids gone through Sam's or anybody Gordon's and they've got samples out? Some of you kids are like, yeah, I hit them up all the time. Some of your mom's like, yeah, we go there for lunch. But what is it? It is a piece of what the actual product is. And that's what Paul said. I want you to, I'm asking you to follow me, not because I've apprehended, not because I'm it. I just want to be a piece of what is. I want to show you, this is it. I'm trying to be like him. So fathers, let me ask you this today. If your son grew up to be the man you are right now, would he be hitting the mark? Because I will tell you this, they will be a reflection of you. Not a result of what you have told them. They will follow who you are, not what you have said you are. Amen? That's why you don't see 500-pound people coaching people on Weight Watchers. How many of you would go to a class where there was a 500-pound person trying to teach Weight Watchers? Why? They're not an ensample or an example of what they're trying to teach. And we think that's silly and we think that's funny, but sometimes your child is looking at you and everything you're telling them, they're going in their mind, well, you don't do that. You act like a spoiled brat when you're talking to mama. You treat her like trash. And you want me to talk nice to my sister? Ha ha. Amen? I see it all the time. Men will treat their wives like dogs and then turn around and threaten their son. Don't you ever talk to your mama like that. What? That's not the target. You're not showing them a mark. We need to get to where in our lives we show them the mark. You've got to, first of all, have the vision to see where you're hitting. You've got to be able to say, okay, this is where I'm at in my life. We've talked about it a lot lately, but how many of us have truly assessed every day, okay, this is where I'm at personally with God? Number two, this is where I'm at if I'm married. This is where I'm at in my marriage. I'm not talking every month. I'm talking every day. Why are we missing the mark so bad in marriage in this country? It's because so many people will spend 4 to 5 to 6 years training for an education, you know, training in education for an occupation, and they won't spend 5 minutes in being a student, how to be a better husband, how to be a better wife. Amen, preacher. We'll spend $50,000 so we can go out and get a degree and have a job. You won't spend 5 minutes listening to somebody who's been married 50 years telling you how you better change. And you turn around and wonder how in the world it all fell apart. Let me tell you something. We're not going to hit the mark if we do not have a mark. You know, let me just say something here. Parenting, you learn as you go, okay? I've learned a lot. I was a child when I started having kids. And I'll admit that I was immature. I had a lot to learn. I think I've learned more than they have. But I will tell you this. Your children will be more respectful of you if you are what you are training them to be. Buddy, if I was able to have two pistols right here on my sides and I was able to show you that I could hit a dime on that wall 5 times like this, would you want me to teach you? Why? Because I did it. I was able to perform. I was able to hit the mark. So you're going to want to know how I did it. How did you get to that point? You know, that's why successful people write books in this world. Why? Because everybody wants to know how they got there. If Michael Jordan wrote a book on basketball, somebody's going to buy it. Why? He pretty much hit the mark. Right? I mean, successful people, we don't buy books from failures. But they're mimicking what the Lord did. Jesus came down and lived it. He had it pinned and wrote about it, and he said, here it is. I've overcome the world. Here it is. So who else better to make the mark than Jesus in your life? As a man every day, you cannot set it aside. You know, people think successful people are just born that way. That's what Paul was saying. I wasn't born this way. I was killing Christians, remember, before I met Jesus. I wasn't born this way. Most people are not born with the gift. No, they're a product of their time, what they spend their time doing. I guarantee you, if I started out, you know, Jace, when he was 3 years old, teaching him how to shoot a pistol, I guarantee you, Brother Greg, by the time he's 20, if he did it every day, every day, every day, I guarantee he'd be good. Because he would be a product of what he spent his time doing. How do people get good at anything? They spend their time doing it. Professional athletes, those that are good, they go beyond the normal area and they go way beyond and they give their time and they give their effort to be and to hit that mark that they've got in their life. Their mark is a little bit higher than everybody else's. They're not happy with down here. Amen? Some people aren't happy with 10 points a game. They want 20 points a game, right? And I know I'm relating this, but I'm just kind of giving you a visual picture of the different people in this world. So if I'm not happy with this, I'm going to work and put my time and effort into this. Men, if you are hitting the mark way down here as a husband, and it seems like every time you turn around, you're just... You, you've got to also be persistent. You've got to have the vision to see it, and then you've got to be persistent enough and patient enough with God and yourself to say, okay, I'm not happy with that. That's what I want to be. And then you've got to ask yourself the tough questions, and that is, what is it that I need to change? What is it that I need to sacrifice to become or to hit that mark? Are you willing to make those changes? If you've got children, are you willing to make the changes in your life so that they will look to you as an ensample, not as somebody that screams your head off and threatens their life if they don't walk and do what you say? That will not work. That's why for a generation, children have walked out of the house of God a lot of times, because the way parents were taught how to train their children with anger and with just screaming and hollering, and I mean, it's just everything flying all over the place. It don't work. If the Bible says, if you tell them to read their Bible, they're going to read in that Bible that a man that cannot control his spirit is what? He's weak. He's like a city that's broken down and without walls. Is that right? But he said a man that can control and have control over that attitude and that spirit, it's like a man that could take a city. And you're telling your child to read that, and you're an angry man. And he's looking at it going, If you want your children to follow, you want your children to become, let me tell you something, you've got to have a mark in your life. You've got to have something that you're going after. And I would say, get a hold of the Word of God today. And ask God, okay, where am I at in my life? Where am I at on this target? Lord, am I hitting the paper? Am I even hitting the wall? Am I even hitting the building? Or have I gotten so far off, I'm just as one that's beating the air, as Paul even talked about. Ladies, where are we at today? Where are you at today? Where are you at today? As an individual, as a mom, as a wife, where is that mark? Do you have a mark? Are you just happy because, well, everybody else, this is just kind of the norm, and that's where I'm going to be? No. God in His Word tells us specifically, men and women, He gives us specifics as far as in marriage and as far as individuals, as far as dads and moms. He gives us marks that we are supposed to be and to hit. And the problem we've gotten to in our culture is we've all become comfortable with just being good enough. I'm a good dad. Let me ask you, when's the last time you spent 15, 20 minutes educating yourself on how to be a better dad? When's the last time you sat down and educated yourself on your children and learned who they were, what their plans were, what their visions were, where their heart's at? What are you thinking when you grow up? What do you want to be? Where is that at? When's the last time you spent enough time that you know them and then you can help them if they have a mark? Amen? Teach your boys to be like Jesus Christ, but you got to live like Him to help them be like Him. Amen? I don't point the finger at mamas today for children that walk away. I pointed at daddies. I am responsible for my family. So how high am I going to put my mark? Do I just want to be the norm? Do I just want to hit the wall? No, sir. I want my target to look like that. And every day, I want to be able to adjust and say, okay, Lord, I was off. I let myself get tired. I let myself get weary, and I was off. I was off. Every day. Don't wait 2, 3, 4 years to evaluate where your marriage is at, people. Every day, every day. Bug your wife to death every day. She might think you care about her if you start asking her questions. How can I be a better husband to you? How could I make your life better? She might boom, hit the floor. Don't just be an average Joe. Don't just be involved in yourself and so absorbed in yourself and don't think that you got married for you and that she should be serving you hand and foot. Uh-uh. He puts it the picture as Christ and the church. He served first. Right? He gave it all. Now we're supposed to serve. Let me just tell you something. Where are we at? Every area of your life. You might not be married. Where are you at as an individual? Where are you at in your life? What are you hitting for? Because we need, Paul said, I want you to follow me. How many, could we turn around, write a book and say, follow me because I'm an example of Christ? I'd say most of us look around and say, don't do what I do. No. Paul wasn't being boastful when he said, I hit the mark. He wasn't being boastful when he said, you know what, I'm going to lay my head down knowing that he's got something for me. Because he had a mark and he tried to hit it every day of his life. Men, do you have one? Ladies, do you have one? Children, do you have a mark? Or are you just living life aimlessly? As one that beateth the air. This morning, as if there's anybody here that's lost, you've never taken into consideration how serious of a decision that is in your life. Let me tell you something. Eternity is a very, very, very long time. Jesus Christ came into this world through the womb of a virgin that God chose, whose name was Mary, lived a sinless life in the flesh of a man, gave his blood, gave his life, beaten beyond recognition, and put on a cross, suffered, tormented, to pay the penalty for your sin and for my sin. And he packaged it up, wrapped it in grace, and said, it's yours. All you have to do is just accept it. Believe it. And if by accepting the gift that Jesus gave, that will change your eternity from spending eternity in a lake of fire. The Bible says, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That does not sound like a party that so many people think it is. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The rich man that the Lord showed us, he gave us a picture of him. He was crying out. He said, I just want one drop of water. Just give me one drop of water to cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this place. And he said, send somebody to go tell my brothers they don't want to come here. So the only report we have out of hell today is the fact that he doesn't want anybody going there. As much as he loved his loved ones, he said for eternity, I don't want to see you because I don't want you here. So today I beg you, I beseech you, not to walk out of the building. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you are gambling with your eternity today. My heart pleads for you. Jesus gave it all. It's a gift. It's not something you have to work up to. It's not something you have to be good enough to get. You don't have to clean up before you come to Jesus. You come to Jesus and Jesus will clean you up. Amen? Washed whiter than snow, he said. That's pretty white. Amen? And then those of us that are Christians today, let me just encourage you. I hope you never think I'm preaching out of anger or anything. I am preaching to you because I don't want this place. I don't want to be just a normal individual. I don't want to just be the norm. I want to be the best at what God wants me to be. We ought to have a church full of the best daddies around here. We ought to have a church full of the best ladies around here. Not just the norm. What's the mark? What a blessing. God is added. God is blessing this place, and I just want us all to just say, no, I'm not comfortable with who I am and where I am. I want to be closer to God. I want to live a life pleasing to God. I want these little children that are growing up around here to have somebody to look at and say, hey, even if you're trying and you're growing as a parent and you say, well, I've got a long way to go, then you can take that child and you can say, hey, child, your daddy's trying right now and your daddy's a mess, but let me tell you somebody, you look at that fella right there as an example and as an example. Amen? You can go sit down. To have a church full of people that we can say, hey, look, it can be done. He's gone after it. He's not been perfect. I'm not saying that, but he has gone after it. He's gone after it. This man's gone after it. That's my prayer. I'll just share this with you. And he may even be listening because he told me he's been listening for a long time. He lives in New York. He came Wednesday night and he's praying about moving down here and being a part of this place. Broken man. But one of the things he said, man, you just seem like a family here. He said, I ain't felt that in a long time. I want this place to be different, to be godly, to draw sinners. Jesus drew sinners everywhere he went. Amen? I want this place to be a vacuum. Sinners just come here. Because we're all sinners just saved by the grace of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's all stand. As she plays, first and foremost, if you are here and you're lost, let me tell you something. That is the ultimate desire of our heart as a church, is to see other people come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. Everything he could do to keep you from the devil's hell. Hell was only meant for the devil and his angels. The sad thing is hell has had to enlarge itself, the Bible says. Because of all the people that will not trust in the name of Jesus Christ. Says for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I appreciate you coming this morning. May the Lord bless you today and help you. My prayer is we never leave here the same. Every time you meet with Jesus, it ought to be different. It ought to make you different. Amen. Amen. Brother John, if you would dismiss us in a word of prayer, please, sir.